From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. We have Keon. Keon.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. It rained today, and I'm a big fan of rain, so cool. That was nice. The rain is gone now, though, but that was nice. Otherwise, it was a pretty typical week, I think. I don't recall anything odd happening. Nothing like Angela McCardle coming by the lab. No, I did see Ter Demeester use a printer today near my office door.
Yeah. I was talking to him too.
And so I didn't talk to him, but I saw him. So that's my encounter with a celebrity today.
Yeah, he's a big celebrity. He gave me some alpha. I won't share it because it's supposed to be a super secret.
I mean, he released
dropping it on Marty's podcast.
He released a paper, so that describes the alpha you're saying that you can't share.
Yeah,
so.
I can't share it. Super, super alpha. You gotta,
but it's public.
You gotta,
and it's widely available.
You gotta go check
for
out.
You to go.
Gotta go check out TFTC to get that alpha. But it's supposed to be.
Basically, said the Bitcoin price is going up.
Oh, you're giving away. Stop.
How was your week, Carr?
Oh, dude, it sucks. I got an ear infection over the weekend, and then I was out Monday and Tuesday, and then right now it's. I was telling you right before it like hurts. So I actually feel slower. Like I feel like my. You ever play Grand Theft Auto back in the day?
I did.
You just kind of walk like that when you're like.
Oh, injured?
Injured, yeah. That's how I kind of feel.
Or tired. You run out of like your ability to sprint.
Yeah. I mean, and I feel like I'm. Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't feel like 100%. I feel like I'm like.
What percentage are you?
I feel like I can still play ball. Like, put me in. I can play hurt or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I feel like I'm at. 62.
Wow, that's pretty low percentage.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Car at 62 is still better than most.
Still 300% anyone else, right?
It's probably better than most, to be honest. It's not sick. Car at 62.
To be honest, well, we're good.
I'm still accomplishing stuff, but yeah, Monday and Tuesday was the worst, dude. Like, I hate. I don't know how you get when you get sick, but when I get sick, I get pissed. I just can't stand it. I just can't like stand like not doing anything because I
don't get mad.
I get mad.
I accept it. And it's just like, all right, body needs to put me out.
Yeah. I get mad. I get frustrated because I'm like, I just think of my next 10 steps of like, okay, I'm going to do this when I get back. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, known people that was my week.
I've known people who get upset when they get injured, but I think I've always associated that kind of behavior with like
people that get
feelings frustrated. That you're like you're not vulnerable, like it's crushing an illusion, and that's the way I've explained my reaction to my like a friend who gets hurt and gets upset. Like my friend strained his neck when we were in college, and he was so mad about it. And I was like, "What? You've never?" I mean, I had broken my ankle, my arm twice, and I've had a bunch of injuries as a kid. So I was like, "What? It's just the way the body is. It's like it's a machine."
Why was he mad?
Huh?
He was saying he was mad.
Yeah, he was mad. He was like really upset because he strained his neck, and I was like, yeah. "You thought you were, you know."
Well, I'm not mad at the, like, I'm not mad that I'm sick. I'm mad that, like, I can't get on with my life. That's what I'm mad about. I'm mad at the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mad that I'm, like, having to deal with it. I'm having to stop to deal with it. Like, I'm having to pause everything to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, something out of my control.
Yeah, so you were never in control to begin with. I think that's the point I'm making.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like I don't mind. Like if it's like something that's out of my control completely, where it's like, you know, family thing or like a death or something like that, or even something that's out of my control, I'm cool with. But if it's something like a, you know, something as minor as like an ear infection, I'm like, oh, really? An ear infection's taking me out. You know, it's so, it's like Achilles heel, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that.
Achilles ear.
Or, yeah. That's what I mean. It's like something minor.
Hmm.
Anyways, it was a slow news week, huh? Or no?
I think so. I think a lot of people were, a lot of people went away for Riga.
Back to school?
There's back to school too. I think, yeah, a lot of families are getting ready to send their kids back to school. It's like, you know, it's the end of summer. Now is the time to get all your summer in that you didn't get in before. I think that's part of it, at least.
If you've never seen this crazy show, it's called Stacker News Live. We're going to cover the top five stories that we have gathered here this week on Stacker News, the front page of Bitcoin. We have a YouTube channel, and you can go to it. We're trying to get more subscribers. We have over 485 videos. There we go right there. We're live right now.
Still have more videos than we do subscribers. Not a good look.
Hey, we just started... We started tending this.
That's my metric. Like, if we gave each subscriber one video to watch, we would still have videos that would be unwatched.
Hey. The way I look at it is we're consistent. And being consistent is far more, you know, it's far more, I think, a worthy metric than anything.
Or people that care.
Yeah, we're very consistent. Very consistent. You know, and sometimes week to week I enjoy it, you know. So
yeah,
not all the time, but this week I'm enjoying it.
Okay, so far at least, yeah, so far, it's pretty early in the podcast.
Still early, right? And then we also have full length episodes. Wumble does our clips, so you can check. He's been doing some clips here, and I think the most popular one last week was the Cuba one. So when we're talking about Cuba.
Oh,
that one was, I think Optimism had some advice. So if you click the link here, if you click this and then you watch the video, you can click this thing here called the Stacker News post and it'll actually, tell you all about it.
Yeah. I think Optimism, I think it was in response to the
podcast. Oh, it was in the other one. Yeah. Okay. Well, usually there's more alpha there too. So. The other thing I was going to mention was, you can check all the videos there. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button because it's free and it doesn't cost you anything.
Not yet.
Turns out we were at 59% people that didn't subscribe. And now we're at 58% people that haven't subscribed.
Wait, we went down?
It went down. So
well, that means more people subscribed.
Because I think we're at 418. Now we're at 420. So we picked up two subscribers.
I wonder if it's just all of our subscribers are vake accounts, like, you know, just all the accounts he created, and he's keeping it at 420. He's going to just, like, keep
maybe. Maybe it is just fake, making a bunch of fake.
I bet, like, breaking the seal on 420 probably feels weird. There's probably a lot of stoners who watch this podcast, and they're like,
yeah,
they have 420 subscribers. I'm not going to subscribe.
I'm also sure, like, most stackers don't have Google accounts. But if you're watching this, you don't have a Google account, just make a fake one and then subscribe. That's what I would do.
Yeah. Let the stake track your fake account.
Yeah. Do me a favor. Do that. Anyways, with all that being said, let's jump into the top five stories. The number five top story is, what if there was a new myth to believe in? This is from Pleb Poet, Books and Articles territory. 8 comments, 4,479 sets. Keon, is this a new fiction piece?
It is a new picture. Well, I don't know if it's new, but I think it is. But, it's a fiction month entry from Pleb Poet. So throughout August, we're having fiction month in the books and articles territory, where you can win up to 100,000 sats if you have the top story, and then less sats if you're in the top 10, but you'll still win some. I think we've had almost 20 entries so far. But if you like writing short stories under 4,000 words and are okay with writing one with the prompt trust, give it a shot. So Pleb Poet wrote this one under 1,000 words. I don't want to spoil it entirely, but it's about two professors discussing some work that was submitted in a, it seems like a creative writing class, and they're impressed by it and experiencing their impression. So that's what I would, that's how I would describe it. I'd recommend reading it. It's quite short, easy to read. And yeah, I think it touches on something kind of, or it, I think it speaks to an aspiration a lot of writers have, where they're, you know, it's kind of like you invented a new guitar chord or something, but you, in the case of writing, it's more like inventing a new myth, a story with a certain structure that is sort of uncovers like a persistent piece of either human nature or something more general.
The top comment was from Simple Stacker. He said, for some reason, I read this as if it were Lovecraftian horror about the return of cosmic entities. What's Lovecraftian horror? Never heard of that before.
Lovecraft writes horror, like a horror fiction writer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And they're very like, I think he's known for lots of creatures in particular. I think there's a series based on Lovecraft, a TV series. It might be American Horror Story.
Oh, okay.
I think that you could describe that as Lovecraft. It's like very visual type of horror is my understanding of Lovecraft.
I got Scoresby says, I'm ready for a new myth. Feels like any time I start reading might be the time I get the first little tinge, something new beginning. Really enjoyed this idea. I also like the many details you gave us. Felt like it was part of a much larger story. Oh, who did I mute? Oh, Solomon Satoshi, the white paper. Now I know why I muted him. Asher Stacker, fascinating. Love this. Captures the moment when someone rediscovers belief. Of course, not an old myth, but something entirely new. Cool. Yeah. When's the last day for the fiction month?
It's all through August.
It's all through August. Okay.
Yeah.
And you wrote one already too, right? Didn't you
write one? I did write one last week.
What was yours about?
Mine was about open AIDS.
Okay. What is that about?
Yeah. It's an artificial intelligence device that people use so they don't have to talk to each other. Just like people on the internet, they use artificial intelligence so they don't have to listen to each other and they don't have to think about each other and communicate with each other. They use... And this is about a person that you wear devices now where you in person, you don't have to think about people or listen to them or talk to them. You just tell it what your personality is and it does the rest for you. And then you can just play video games and eat slop all the rest. But they're on an elevator and they're using their open AIDS.
I still haven't thought of a story yet that like, I was thinking about one the other day. I was like, would that make a good story? And then the more I think about it, I was like, no, that wouldn't be a good story. I'm still trying to think of a good story to write. It has to hit me. I haven't thought of one yet.
Yeah, I think you...
Did you think of that one? Like, how did you come up with that one?
EK shared, I think, an AI, like a post about AI slop. And I was like, yeah, this is bad. I was like, it's especially bad because it's kind of like HIV and that the reason why HIV, we can't cure HIV is because it incorporates itself deeply into your own biology. And so you can't really distinguish a cell that's been infected with HIV from one that hasn't been. And so it becomes difficult. And that's, yeah. And I'm like, right now it's like HIV and we're not like, we don't have AIDS yet. And then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to write a story about how destructive I think AI is to human relationships.
Yeah.
Combined with how useful it seems and why it makes us use it. So that's what.
Yeah.
That was the inspiration.
I think I'm trying to think of like a Black Mirror episode. That's where my brain goes. Like, but I don't know. I haven't thought of a good idea yet.
I've never written fiction before. So what I found was really helpful is just a lot of like writing about something I was really upset about. Like I'm really upset about the way I see people use AI. And so it was very easy for me.
Yeah, you're really upset about that.
I do, because I don't think people, it's like watching people like stab themselves in the chest. Yeah, and it's like, well, I don't think you want to do that. And they're like, yes, I do. I want to do this.
It's because you read all day. I think that's what it is. You interface with it all day.
Yeah, I see people stabbing themselves in the chest all day. Yeah. And it's a little bit much.
Yeah. All right. The number four top story is my wife's continuing Bitcoin journey. This is from CK4729 comments, 1567 sets. Keon, what's going on here?
Yeah, Siggy wrote about how Breedlove bred love for Bitcoin into his wife a few weeks ago.
That's funny.
And
that was such a weird post. I remember seeing that.
I don't think it was that weird. It was pretty. It seemed weird. You know, he's a.
I mean, not weird as in like weird for Siggy. It was just kind of weird that she, out of all the people, she would pick Breedlove.
Well, I think that speaks to you not understanding maybe the female frame as well. Like the present, like a woman is not going to enjoy watching the show unless they have some relationship with us, as we found out.
You would think she would watch like Natalie Brunel.
There's a weird thing. Have you ever had a woman describe to you that like they won't see a they don't want to see a female therapist or a female doctor. They have like,
really?
Yeah.
Thing? No.
Yeah. Where they're like, I don't trust a woman. Damn. Like they're like, sort of like sexist.
They're like anti-women.
Well, no, it's
women
like,
that are anti.
It's like they're sort of sexist. I'm not saying that's what Siggy's wife is going through, but I think there's like, several dimensions to this where like
they don't want Breedlove
is like a hunky man who looks like a normal hunky guy. He could be on like a soap opera.
Who, Breedlove?
Breedlove, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you wouldn't fuck him?
No, dude. No way. Are you kidding me?
Okay.
No way.
It's your choice. All right. Anyway, I don't think it was that weird. But that was what happened a few weeks ago. Siggy's wife got orange pilled by a Breedlove podcast, I believe. And he said she's away in Aruba right now on a vacation with her friend.
She just watches Breedlove all day.
Yeah. She's just, alone in her hotel in Aruba thinking about Breedlove.
What the hell?
No. She got orange-pilled by Breedlove, and then she's in Aruba. She's reading Jeff Booth's book, The Price of Tomorrow, right now. And said she also encountered someone who I think is on the same trip, who describe themselves as being into crypto and they're very into Ethereum. And so she had a conversation. She asked him if it was a shit coin, mm-hmm. and learned that they, it's not like that. But that, you know, she's having an early Bitcoin tendencies. Journey.
Yeah.
And Siggy gets to help her, and no better person probably. So
that's crazy that she basically told the guy, where is it here? She was comforted. Is that a shitcoin? And she was confrontational about it. Because Breedlove doesn't talk like that, does he? I thought he was very like traditional finance kind of.
No, he's more like galaxy brain stuff.
But he doesn't talk like that where he says shitcoin, does he?
On
his podcast?
I would guess not. I think, you know, especially because
he's kind of buttoned up a little bit.
It's more a Nick Carter type character where like a lot of his wealth was made on the back of shit coins. I mean, not, you know, a lot of Bitcoiner, like quite a few Bitcoiners who were maximalists now made a lot of their money that way. But
so where did she get that word from? Did she get it from Siggy, I guess?
Probably. Yeah. Or in Siggy.
Siggy probably saw it on Stacker News. That's funny. So what did we get here on the comments? Have you told her you're literally generating sats on her story right now? She's providing you on Bitcoin yield. You should start your own Bitcoin treasury company. Siggy said, I told her she saw the Breedlove post and thought it made her sound like an idiot. Oh, wow. I explained I had to juice it up a little for entertainment value. Simple Sacker said, show her the sats you earned and she'll understand. And this one says, we need to get the good lady, Miss Siggy on Sacker News. She sounds fun. Oh, wow. That'd be cool. Imagine that.
Oh.
Siggy 46. Let's do it.
Oh, she probably have
it. It's only a matter of time. She's already lurking. Oh, whoa, dude. I have mixed feelings. This is my place to vent. She will now exactly what I'm doing when I'm on my phone will manage. You can post your ventings here under Totally Not Siggy. Oh. Wait, hang on. Good idea. If she's now reading Jeff Booth, then your prior version was not exaggerated. Dang. So that's crazy. Maybe she is going to join. Has there ever been a... I guess this is going to evolve naturally. I guess he would eventually get his wife on here.
No, not necessarily. But if she... Yeah, if she wants to participate, she'll get on there. But I think lurking is more the norm.
You know what's interesting? For a second, let me just take a pause here. So Siggy's been on here for how long?
I think since the early days. That was probably within
22.
In the first couple months.
If his wife comes on, she'll start stacking.
Just wanted to remind you, you're snapping your AirPod case.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they're both stacking. Wife and husband.
Wow. Forced to be reckoned with.
That's crazy.
One day we'll have a marriage on Stacker News. First ever marriage.
What if it turns into like where they own territories and then they're just like, posting about each other all the time. What if they just like start fighting on Stacker News where they're just like, you know?
Oh, but what if they get divorced? How do they split up the territory?
Oh, don't say they that. How do they split up the territory?
They have to create two sub territories and you can't post on the main. Maybe.
Yeah, that is kind of that would be strange, right? Like, what if she just started showing up here and then all of a sudden there's like a.
What if she's better at it than Siggy?
That's true. Dude, what if she just says all the best stories about Siggy and it's just like
she calls Siggy a shit coiner? Like, because he's like, he occasionally posts, like, even discusses the ETF.
What if we find out Siggy 47 actually he has a Reddit account and like he has so much karma and stuff like this? How would that make you feel, Keon?
About Siggy? If Siggy was a Redditor?
Yeah.
I'd feel okay. I can share Siggy.
What if you found out like he spends
possessive?
What if you found out he spends more of his time on Reddit than he does on Stacker News?
That would make sense. There's a lot more people on Reddit. I wouldn't blame him. It's like if my wife wants
it's to like literally Siggy 47.
Watch Breedlove's podcast instead of my podcast. I get it. He's a better man, especially on video at least.
Anyways. All right, let's jump into the number three podcast number three. Number three top story of the week. The Stacker News Freedom Library. This is from KR, August 9th, Books and Articles Territory, 44 comments, 1988 sets. Keon, what's this?
Oh, it was a fun idea. Yeah, so KR asked if for Freedom books or articles that people would recommend, attempting to create like sort of a, you know, an evergreen post that people could come to find things to read about liberty, and it gave people a specified format to post in, and a few people followed it, and we got some pretty good entries. But yeah, that's it. He just like created, you know, used the common thread to create a resource, which is a cool idea.
Yeah. So what kind of ones do we have here?
We get a lot of Rothbard. We have a
Psycho Liberty.
Yeah. Manifesto. I would guess there were some Mises in there. I saw 1984 in there.
Manifesto.
Yep. Eric Hughes. Siggy has written about that before. Modern Science and
Manifesto.
I haven't read that one before. Some fiction, quite a bit of nonfiction.
Modern Science and Anarchy.
KR shared The Sovereign Individual.
This looks interesting. Let's see here. Alice Shrugged. Yeah, that could be one. True Names by Vernon
Vench. Yes, I Scoresby did a review of True Names.
To my sister, Vench. Oh, wow. Once upon a time, the days of first age of magic. Oh, that already sounds fun. Sovereign individual, of course. What else do we have here? Can't leave out this one. White paper. And I think
Don Quixote.
Left-handed poems. Billy the Kid.
Oh. I didn't realize Billy the Kid was a poet.
Cool. Any other ones you think you should have added?
There's a lot of stuff that you could probably add. Nothing comes off the top of my head that I didn't already see. Rothbard,
some stuff Atlas over Shrek. There. Yeah,
that's kind of my stuff. But
we have a bookshelf over there. I could probably look. Creature from Jekyll Island, I'm sure. Some other ones there. Cool. The next top story is CLN-ZapAware CLN dashboard using only Lightning and Commando RPCs. This is from JB55, Lightning Territory, August 11th, 16 comments, 30k boost, baby. 7,231 sets. Keon! JB55 is back. Stacker News.
Yeah, I was really excited to see them post this. So Note Deck is their desktop version of Domus, basically. It's kind of like a browser for Noster. It's an app. I think it's also cross-platform because it uses some cool modern tooling to make that possible. And he's also very performance focused. But he created one of the ideas that he has is something like a browser extension or a browser extension ecosystem for NoteDeck. And he already created Dave, which is like his version of Grok. And this is another one that he's created, which is a Core Lightning dashboard. And you can see it here in the picture. Looks like he said the apps are kind of in an early state and NoteDeck itself is in a beta, but you can kind of begin to see the power of having a Bitcoiner build both a social media client / browser.
Yeah, you know what this kind of reminds me of?
Hmm.
I mean, it's still early days. I don't want to jump ahead. But so me and Austin were talking earlier, and I went over here, and then I downloaded. So all the stackers, if you're watching this, just go to the NoteDeck GitHub. And then here on the right side, there should be a releases tab. You're going to scroll down. You're going to click on where it says binaries. Then you're going to download whatever version you have, macOS, Linux. So I downloaded the macOS version.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's freaking sick.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a learning curve, but it probably took me like 5 minutes because I'm really dumb. But outside of that, though, like once I logged in and then I started getting the... Because I never used TweetDeck, like I never used it, but I understand a lot of power users used it. But once I started using it, and then me and Austin were looking at it, I don't think I'm going to use Primal anymore on the desktop. I'm just going to use this because it's all alpha. Like it's basically now I understand why people use TweetDeck. Like, but now I can just see the things I want. One of the biggest problems with Primal is it's just such an echo chamber. And I don't think it does that intentionally. I just think it's just how, you know, what it's optimized for. But what's cool about NoteDeck is like you can basically make these little slides and it gives you the option to optimize for what you're looking for. So highly recommend everybody check it out. The other thing, so I could be running basically like NoteDeck and then Stacker News all the time and then be having that going in like off my on my screen over there and then still be doing everything that I want to do. The other thing I wanted to bring up was here was to go back to what I said a while ago. You know what it reminds me of, Keon? If he kind of goes in this direction where and you kind of see here, like if he starts making all these kind of micro apps, Do you remember a long time ago there was this app in 21 called Impervious? It kind of reminds me of that, dude. But not to that level, not to that whole extreme of like privacy or anything like that. But it's a very similar type of app because I remember reviewing it and throwing it on Thriller. And I remember doing a proper review for it. But it like when I first launched it, it was like, oh, this is reminiscent of that build. Obviously, it's completely different thing. But what they were trying to do was that they were trying to build this like social type of
browser.
Say that again. I can't hear.
Browser. They were building a social browser.
I guess.
A social Bitcoinized browser.
I guess. Yeah. But it was like, but it was going to allow chat and it was going to allow all these different like things. It was going to have Lightning built in. But it's interesting because in this particular instance, JB55 is coming from a different, he already has the user base, like the user base is already there. So he's starting from a different area, right? And then all these microservices or micro apps, whatever he's calling them, they can be just added incrementally. And then that's at user discretion, I would imagine, if that's the way he goes it. But it's very cool. It's like really, really cool. And you could tell it's definitely thought about it long and hard. So I'm like, I was really shocked this week when I saw it. And then when me and Austin were playing with it, I was like, yeah, I'm all in to use this. It also makes me wonder, like, damn, if this thing was running like on those, I don't have a foldable phone, but imagine if you had like a foldable phone and having this run on a foldable phone, how cool would that be? You know,
I could see that.
Or even like an iPad or something. But anyways, I thought it was really cool. It's. I mean, Noster's still early and stuff, but it's like for him to make something this intentional and to hit out of the park like this. And he's always been very he's just a good builder, dude. He just, you know what I mean, Keon? He just builds really good stuff.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of JB.
Yeah. Anything else you had to say?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered it.
Then EK asked him some questions about the instructions and the README about it.
He's building from source, EK was, and then he's building from source on Nix.
Yeah. And then you asked him, is it possible to run this on DMG? I was curious if you plan on having something like an extension store in NoteDeck. Then he said, I'm going to release a new NoteDeck DMG soon. This is hidden behind a feature flag. So, yeah, I would just follow the GitHub there. Really cool stuff. Anyways, Stackers, check it out. I'm glad that he posted on Stacker News, because if he didn't post on Stacker News, I would have never heard about it.
Oh yeah, I had been following NoteDeck for a while, but this prompted me to actually install it. I know JB's been working on it for at least a year.
Has?
Yeah, and it had releases way earlier, like probably shortly after we began working on it. You could mess around with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, this is him just releasing this Lightning app.
Oh wow!
In addition to it, not even NoteDeck itself. NoteDeck has been out for a long time.
Yeah, well, I think just because a lot of people went away from Noster, because it's just like, you know, because of the, you know,
I don't think people went away, but I think it, you know, it's like maybe they weren't following the devs after a while.
Well, yeah, because like, yeah, I didn't know he was building this. I'm just blown away by it. I was shocked. I was like, it's like getting an early Christmas gift. It was like, it reminds me of when I first discovered Domus. I had that same feeling again. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So yeah, I'm excited to keep playing with it. So anyways, let's jump into the number one story of the week. A real spam solution. This is people using Bitcoin. This is from 0285. 49 comments, 140K boost. Wow. 3,827 sets. Keon, 148K boost. What did he want to get out there? That's a lot of boost, baby.
It is a lot of boost, baby. He's basically saying that we can keep the spam out of the chain by making real use of Bitcoin. So it was showing that a lot of the spam that is entering blocks is very low fee. They're paying very low fee. And but the things that are getting into blocks are paying higher fees. They're more monetary use of Bitcoin. And so he took from this that we could price out spam just by using Bitcoin more, and that the price mechanism the fee to get into a block is enough of a deterrent for most spam, assuming people are actually using Bitcoin. But people really aren't using their Bitcoin in terms of making transactions and putting them on the blockchain, at least. So, I thought it was a fun post. I think it describes it pretty plainly. Lots of pictures. I guess there's somewhat of a kind of shitcoin storm, some kind of NFT ruin thing, maybe.
Another one?
Not like a, I guess storm is maybe the wrong word, but it's like doing lots of spammy op return things. But those are all like the low fee transactions and all of those other blocks.
So you're saying to send Bitcoin right now? Is that what he's saying?
No, he's saying that if Bitcoiners who want Bitcoin to be used as money, we're using it as money at the global Bitcoin user base. We're using Bitcoin as money. The spam would never reach the chain. And he's saying that is like Bitcoin's spam deterrence, is competition for block space. And the reason why the spam is getting into the blocks, which everyone hates that spam gets into the blocks, even he says spam gets, hates that spam gets into the blocks, is because there is no competition for block space and it can get into blocks cheaply. So,
all right. So, sorry, I got to ask a really dumb question. So he's saying there is no problem right now.
No, I don't think he's saying there is no problem. I think he's saying that Bitcoin, the system, or the network, Bitcoin, the system, doesn't have a problem. It's Bitcoin's like social layer that has a problem. Bitcoin's application that has a problem. It's not, it already has mechanisms to keep unworthy things out of blocks. It's just there aren't enough worthy things to put in blocks. If we're describing worthy things as things that are monetary use cases and unworthy things as non-monetary use cases.
Yeah. I don't see the point of the post then.
I do, but.
So what's the point of the post?
I described it already. I don't want to have to describe.
Every time we have one of these, I feel like I'm never understanding what they're trying to get across. Maybe it's just me not understanding the mempool. I'm gonna go to the tabconf GitHub, and I'm gonna say, hey, we need to do a mempool discussion. Explain it like I'm five mempool.
You need to take base 58.
No, I literally merch literally has explained the mempool to me before privately on a whiteboard session at tabconf. I was lucky enough to have that, and I still feel like I'm dumb as rocks when it comes to the mempool stuff. But here, I just don't understand. If everything's fine, we don't have it up right now, but I don't understand.
The context is people on Knot say, people who are pro Knot saying that we need to implement within the relay logic of nodes, the ability to filter out spam. Some heuristics to determine spam and not relay it. That's basically
okay.
So spam is a problem. That's the not, like, generally that's the Knot's people solution to the problem.
Okay.
He is proposing his own solution, which is we use Bitcoin more. that's the point of the post.
He's saying the people that make the spam use Bitcoin more.
No, he's saying the people that don't want spam on chain use Bitcoin more. We can price it out. That's what he's saying.
Oh, he's saying that people that don't want spam on chain use Bitcoin more.
Yeah, use Bitcoin for monetary use cases more, and it will price out spam. The spam will never reach the chain. And then we don't have this problem. That's what he's saying.
Oh.
Because
people. Well, what if people are using the Lightning Network more?
If enough people are using the Lightning Network, that is a monetary use case that will hit chain and have some effect, but it has a small effect on chain, which is the reason why it exists relative to other uses of other monetary uses on chain.
Yeah, like I feel like most times it's like one sat per V byte. I think that's most times. Is that not a good price?
That's what he's saying. That's what he's demonstrating here is like everything that's paying one sat per V by or above, which is it's very low. It's like a 17 cent, like for the average size transaction, that's like 17 cents in US dollar terms. That is beating the spam to the block to getting mined because the spammers are paying less than one sat per V byte.
Okay.
So that's. But is it a good fee? I don't, you know, good fee is $20,000 a good price for a car? I don't know. It's all context.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I just really, I mean, if I could send one sat per V byte, I'm going to be happy. Right. If it's anything higher than that, and like here, I think he has another one here. Where is it at? No, that's not it. Where is it at? Where he had like a crazy number. Is it this one? There's one of these where he had like a crazy number here. I guess not. Yeah, if it's anything higher than that and there's somebody to blame, I think the natural thing for anybody is to blame that person. And if it's because of the memes and stuff or whatever they're doing on there, yeah, people are going to blame it. That's what I'm saying. But he's saying use it for monetary transactions to avoid that. But I think that's just more about people just being doing knee-jerk reactions to complaining that anything's higher than one sat per V byte. I think that's unavoidable.
Oh, no, he's not reacting to people who are reacting to on-chain fees being higher than one sat per V byte. He's reacting to not people who have their own solution to this problem or believe the solution is changing relay policy. He's saying we don't need to change relay policy because the economics already prevent the stuff from getting on chain. Once we have enough real Bitcoin.
Well, dude, that's just Bitcoiners being Bitcoiners. You're not going to stop them doing from anything. They're going to do whatever they want. Like, how many times have we seen that in Bitcoin where people are going to fork off and do their own thing? Or that's just par for the course, right? Like, you name it, that's always going to happen in every part. That's not just here in this situation, that's in every situation. I mean, that's literally every situation I've ever run into in my journey of being a Bitcoiner, people forking and doing their own thing. Right? Or?
Oh, what's the question?
So he it sounds like the OP is saying that they shouldn't do knots and they shouldn't do, you know, they shouldn't be doing filtering, but I'm saying that that's par for the course. That's a normal reoccurring thing you see in Bitcoin where people will go and do their own thing because they're Bitcoiners, and that's a natural thing that happens in Bitcoin.
No, he's not saying that the knots people shouldn't have knots. It's kind of like if you go to the refrigerator and you get a sparkling water, I'm like, regular water that isn't sparkling is great. And you know, maybe that's enough. Maybe we don't need sparkling water. We're not like, I'm not telling you to not drink sparkling water. I'm just recommending that maybe drinking the flat water is okay. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, but people are going to drink sparkling water.
I don't think he's saying they aren't.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting post. What is top comment? Top comment from Scoresby says the ultimate filter is the Bitcoiners who are using Bitcoin, filling blocks with their economical, meaningful transactions. Well said. Now, maybe Light Network is too good and needs to suck more. Yeah, I think that's another thing too, right?
Not according to Paul Stork. Paul Stork. And I guess a lot of the people who are spamming the chain also don't like Lightning.
I mean, the only time I ever complain is if it's more than one sat per V-byte or two sats per V-byte, then I get kind of upset. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I look at the screen and it's just like a bunch of huge blocks. And then I ask around, I'm like, what's this crap, guys? And then somebody says, oh, it's those plankety planks, plankety plank, 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 planks. And I'm like, rah! Right? That's the only time I ever get upset. But I haven't had one of those instances in a long time.
Because no one's using on-chain Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Fees have been really low for a long
time. That's a good thing.
Yeah, if you want to price out spam, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, but if I'm trying to send a transaction,
it's good for you. Good for the person who wants to send a Bitcoin transaction.
Yeah,
maybe and bad for miners. Is it good for the network that fees are low? Probably not.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it. But that's I don't know. Yeah, it's incentives, man. Everybody has different incentives.
Incentives, bro. Okay,
that's all the top stories this week. Yeah, interesting. Interesting collection here this week, Keon.
It is.
It was all over the place.
It's a diverse group.
It's a very diverse group. We got a little bit of Noster, a little bit of fiction, a little bit of spam talk, wife talk. Even Breedlove talk turns out. A lot of
and stuff. Wife talk, they go hand in hand, dude.
Yeah, weird stuff. Let's jump into. Let's go with your posts. The first one is. Oh, actually, let's do that one. The first one is Proto Release. This was from Scoresby. What is this, Keon?
Yeah, so Proto is Block, formerly known as Square's mining division. We've been waiting for a product from them. They've been teasing for, I don't know, a few years now that they were going to release something. We didn't really know what. They implied they were going to release their own miner made in the United States, because most Bitmain is like the predominant mining company, and they're out of China and they're closed source, and they have a different way of doing that things, but they kind of dominate the mining stuff. And I think that's why Block sort of got into the scene. They're like, we're going to produce an American Bitcoin mining,
there it goes,
a manufacturing company. So we didn't know what they were going to produce. I thought they were going to produce the bricks that we get, that we see from every other miner in the space, just this device that you plug in and use for a few years, and then you throw it away and replace it with new machines when they come out with better chips. But instead they release this, which they call Rig, which is this very easy to repair system where you can swap out the fans, you can swap out the chips, without any tools at all. You can swap out the power supply, and they did a Apple-like release page. They had a very straightforward live stream, not a lot of sappy language, but still, I think, demonstrated how having a product-focused company like Square that's done both manufacturing and in the form of Cash App done software can really deliver a world-class product in a way that they have expertise and they have a lot of people that are capable of doing such things. And that's what I think this was. I think a lot of us were impressed by this. Like, I did not imagine this would be something that miners would desire, but it made a lot of sense when they explained it on the live stream. And that's based on them actually talking to miners and being like, what are your biggest frustrations? They hired very experienced miners to be part of the team that delivered it. I think a very exciting announcement to happen.
Yeah. Do What did the miners say? I'd be curious to see what like the miners are saying.
Yeah, I think a lot of them, I don't know. I mean, I think it really, because this hasn't, I don't, as far as I know, they haven't been using, this hasn't been used much in production fleets yet. But I think we'll start hearing feedback about it. Proto anticipates that miners will be able to save roughly 20%, as they upgrade, because they don't need to replace the entire miner. Because when new chips come out every 3 to 5 years, all you do is you can just swap out the hash boards. And if a part fails, you can just swap it out. And you don't need to be like an expert. You don't need to even know how to use a screwdriver. You kind of just go in and you swap out the part. And so Block or Proto, I think they're being sort of conservative, are suggesting that this will save miners 20% over what they would in another system where Proto didn't exist.
So this is just, this is another Block company, I guess?
Yeah, subsidiary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Cool. Pretty cool. And they also released free fleet management, open source free fleet management software, which I was telling PlebDev before we got on the podcast, is I was, for about a year, I'd been like, why, like, when is a startup going to release decent fleet management software?
There's already, what do you call it? Gosh, what was one that Mitch used to work for? I forget the name of it, but there's already software that does this.
There is software that does this, but as far as I know,
it's
sort of enterprise level and is kludgy and isn't written, isn't made by a company that understands consumers, and which means, understands everyday people who are poorly motivated, which is, a great place to write software from, even for people who are highly motivated. It just means you'll be able to meet the needs of those highly motivated people easier. But that's,
I think I broke the website.
That looks like what they have with
I think I broke the website.
With Fleet. It is a fairly intense website. These I broke
their website.
New super,
I crashed it.
Animated websites.
I literally broke it. I crashed their website.
But it looks really cool and it's open source, so you'll see a lot of improvements to it.
Let's hope their website. Oh wow, I totally crashed their website. Let's hope their website is better built than their software.
You mean their software is better built than?
Yeah, their software is better built than their website.
I'm sure.
All right.
It'll be pretty good.
Let me close this one.
Anyway, I just thought it's really cool. It's like I'm a huge fan of like the framework laptops, even though I mostly use.
Oh, modular's coming back, bro. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Modular's here.
It reminded me, immediately reminded me of the framework laptops, because that's kind of their whole thing is like easy repairability by a pleb. Easy upgradability, and that's kind of what they did with this.
We're moving to a modular world, Keon.
I was a bit afraid when I saw the live stream that they were going to make like one of you remember those Mac Pros, the big desktop computer.
Yeah,
I was afraid that's what they had done, is they had just made a really fancy miner,
like a G4.
Yeah, they had done something like that. I was like, oh no.
Let's see if I can find
what
it.
What did they do?
G4.
They just made like a miner that was like twice as expensive. That did the same thing. It just looked better.
This one here.
It both looks good, I think, and serves a functional purpose, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
one of those. But they also came out with
The Cube Mac. I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking of the one that's.
You think of this one?
No, I'm thinking of the one that.
Oh, you think of the trash can Mac? You're not thinking of this one, are you? The trash can Mac?
Oh no, not thinking of that. I'm thinking of the one that was aluminum. It had an aluminum case.
Is it the
Mac Pro?
Mac Pro. Oh, you're thinking of the cheese grater Mac.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't realize these were also useful in a kitchen. Yeah. But
yeah.
Because I was like, oh God, did they do? Did they
the cheese this grater. Mistake? Yeah, this was called the cheese grater Mac. Yeah.
Yeah. But it instead they it was it's pretty, but it also serves a purpose and
yeah.
I think is awesome. I will be.
I mean, it looks beautiful. I mean, it looked beautiful. I didn't watch a live stream or anything, so I don't have any comments on it. But, yeah, it's kind of weird though. I think just this is just more comments from the peanut gallery. But it's weird because like I do feel like it's just like Block and like Blockstream are just like two of the heavyweights right now that are just like duking it out as far as like, just entering every segment of the ecosystem.
I don't even think they're on the same planet.
Yeah, no, they are. Like if you look at their two different websites, obviously they both have, I think the only thing that Blockstream doesn't have is an exchange.
Well, they also don't have, I don't think they sell miners. Like they don't themselves manufacture.
But they have mining. I think
Blockstream. They have a mining division where they
have a mining division
where they are, but they're like any other Bitcoin miner and they buy miners from other people and put them in a warehouse.
But I think Blockstream's the only thing Blockstream doesn't have is an exchange.
Is a consumer app, an exchange, and.
Well, I guess they do have miner. I guess they do have the what's that thing called? The stock, they do have that now. So
I don't even know if that's available in an app that's consumer facing. I think it's more.
It'll be on Robinhood at some point.
It's more institutional investor, and they also Block doesn't have a side chain, so they're not directly facing each other. But they are two very very large companies in Bitcoin. But Block is worth probably like $100 billion or more dollars, and we have Blockstream maybe. Definitely under 10 billion.
Under 10?
Oh. But I would guess probably priced at more like a couple billion at most.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, that was just for peanut gallery observation. I was just like, yeah, it's really cool kind of seeing these two big heavyweights just kind of like go. I don't think they like look at each other like that, but it's just interesting to see these two titans in the ecosystem just kind of like drop something and then.
Yeah,
like who else are they going to measure each other? Like you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. They're their closest sibling.
Like who else can they measure each other with? As far as like, do you know what I mean? Like,
no, I know what you're saying. They're their closest sibling. So yeah, there is no there. It's cool seeing Bitcoiners have a lot of money and actually release product. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, we have Bitcoin treasury companies that are kind of anti-products. They're pure Bitcoin treasury companies that never release a product. That's why you give them money is because they promise to never squander your money on product. But it's cool to see Bitcoiners with lots of money releasing product.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was a cool one for you that you had. And then the other one that you had was should universities embrace or crack down on student AI usage? So Harvard University professor Alex Green thinks AI is robbing students of the ability to think.
Yeah, so this is a Harvard professor, I think, of political communications, and they describe a lot of their students coming to them and saying that their usage of AI has interfered with their ability to think when they want to think, and read when they want to read, and write when they want to write. Their dependency on it has grown to the point where they're unable to do those kinds of things that college would normally teach you to do without AI. And so they're, beyond him just being upset that they are lying to him about doing work, he's upset that it's actually robbing them of becoming a competent human being.
Right.
And so he just kind of writes about that and how he's thinking about it and that experience. And the other professors he runs into are kind of going the other direction where they are themselves automating their own jobs using AI, grading students' papers with AI and stuff, and how he thinks we're kind of doing this their students a disservice by not helping them avoid usage of AI where it is to their detriment, where it is going to interfere with their ability.
What do you think it's doing? I have a take on this, but I'd be interested to hear your take on it.
I believe him. So that's what I think it's doing. It is.
Do you think it's actually, cause you hang out with a bunch of young kids, don't you?
Yeah. You can frequently find me at.
No, I mean developers. I mean, you have some developers that are young that work at Stacker News or contribute to Stacker News. So, I mean, you do have some experience.
I do encounter young people. I don't. So, was there a question?
Yeah, the question is, is AI robbing my student of the ability to think?
I think it is. I think that is what it leads to. I think it does lead to a critical dependency. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. Probably bad. I think it's too. That's the kind of the problem with general intelligence versus like a calculator level intelligence. Is I will lean on the calculator for a certain facet of life, but when I have something that's general, I might lean it on it for every facet. And at that point, I don't have much of a life without the thing. I don't have much of a me without the intelligent device. And so I do think it is different from that. And I think it can rob people of thinking, especially when people aren't challenging, they aren't willing to go sort of Quakerish sometimes and write themselves, read themselves, think themselves without the device. I think they are robbing themselves of the ability to do it, because you only do things if you practice them. And I don't think watching an AI think through its, you know, as it goes through reasoning steps is going to make you think better. In all cases, and think better alone in all cases. I think you need to do it yourself.
Yeah, so I think you're right. I think what it'll do, though, it'll probably get them to think faster and to find solutions faster, maybe. So, like, kind of like a calculator, like, maybe it'll get them to think through reasoning better, or, like, how do you say, like, to get conclusions faster, maybe?
They'll get to results and outcomes.
Yeah. And then so maybe like if you give them a project, they'll be able to get to that much faster because they're used to thinking with AI. So there's that possibility.
Yeah, but there's another way to view it is that without the ability to think for yourself, you're going to be less able to use the AI effectively. So a person who is smart using AI to augment them is going to be that much smarter. But if because you're using AI, you don't get much smarter, and now you augment yourself with AI, you're still at a deficit. You're not.
You know, some would say for us, for our millennial generation, I'm just as guilty as this. You're probably not because you're more well-read. But some would say, like, you know, the millennial generation is not well-read because a lot of us grew up with the internet. So a lot of us just read articles or watched videos or heard podcasts. And so we're not nearly as well read as the prior generation, because they had to go to the library for information, or they had to read books for information. But the millennial generation had the internet, so they could squeeze that, you know, tremendously. They didn't have to spend 16, 18, 24 hours reading a book. We could spend an hour, 2 hours on a podcast, whatever, gobbling that information. So it's kind of the same thing.
Well, I think it is. I don't think it's the same thing where, because I think what you're saying is when someone listens to the podcast, they get just as much as someone who read the book. And I would disagree with that premise. I think the person who read the book understands the thing way better than the person who was listening to the podcast while they were.
I'm saying that's the same type of. I'm saying the millennial generation probably
suffered
the same type of thing that this current generation is going to suffer from with AI.
I would say the,
and I don't know if that necessarily made us worse or better, because we wouldn't know what we're worse at.
It's hard to say what the results of a generation are, because the generation is like nearly dead by the time.
What resulted from us having available information at our fingertips that might not be. I guess we did figure out what that was. The disinformation, all that disinformation that came out, us being conspiracy theorists, us believing crazy flat earth shit, or like that's what came out of that, right? So I guess in a way we kind of like psyoped ourselves.
Yeah, you could tie it into that, because people didn't learn to think critically because they're
right.
Kind of not willing to spend time thinking. They get duped easier and are more vulnerable to being lied.
So that's the effects of having available information at your fingertips and believe anything that you read.
Another more direct one is that it was a few months ago, there was a story circulating that got memed a lot where they had done studies on English majors in college, and they found that most of them had really poor reading comprehension. Mm-hmm. I think it was like under half of them had good, decent reading comprehension. And so that is one of the effects is, you know, you have very few people that can read well.
And so, yeah, I think in this such situation, maybe what will happen is you'll lose probably critical thinking, maybe. Because that's what they're supposed to teach you in college anyways, how to critically think.
I think.
Like, what would you say the whole reason of college is?
Oh, that, he kinda,
critical thinking is one of them. Like, that's like the.
I think it's like exposure to a lot of different ideas.
Sure.
Is a big one.
Critical thinking is another one.
I think not just critical thinking, but thinking more like how to think about something. You know, they kind of work you through a lot of examples of things that have already happened. You get a lot of like historical context so that you don't make similar mistakes yourself.
So maybe they won't learn these things.
Yeah, they might be sort of without them, but.
And then there will grow this trust towards AI, this inherent trust towards AI.
Dependency, yeah.
This dependency towards AI, this dependency towards machines.
And unlike a calculator, it's like pretty easy. It's, you can't really manipulate my calculator, but if I'm using OpenAI in the cloud, it's pretty easy for you to change the parameters on a dime because you want me to get a cheeseburger at McDonald's this afternoon.
Yeah. So, yeah. I guess that future looks very dystopian. Huh. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. And Simple Stacker is a professor of economics and, you know, is dealing with this question themselves in real time. And they say they're leaning more towards, you know, they see AI as inevitable. They can't really police it. So they're trying to help their students use it in the right way so that it improves their thinking and properly augments them. But he says he's conflicted because he knows there is this dulling effect it has on their ability to deal with like novel problems and situations, especially by themselves without the AI. And so he asked Stackers about it. And a lot of them had interesting feedback, a lot of diverse opinions.
Yeah. I think I guess we can go to the next story because my stories kind of tie into exactly what we're going to talk about here. So the first one I had was GPT-5 is more expensive than Claude. Here's why. So this one's from Tony, and he goes into, I never understood how these tokens worked anyway. So I got the upgrade this week and I think it's way better. Then I was talking to Jim and he says, oh, it's not way better. But what do these tokens mean anyway, Keon? Like, what's the...
So tokens are a weird thing. You can roughly think of it as like a syllable or a word, but basically when you add input to one of these black box AIs, they chop it all up into small pieces. Sort, you know, they have some logic that does it and they try to remove things that are meaningless and keep the things that are meaningful. But that's what they mean by token is one of those pieces, one of those pieces that are left. And they also mean that on the output. And so their APIs charge based on how many of these tokens you give them into their black box and how many tokens their black box spits out, or you ask it the black box to spit out. It's really hard to like estimate the cost of things this way because you don't know exactly how many tokens are generated. Maybe you do. Maybe if you interact with these APIs a lot, they give you some estimates. But yeah, it's a bit, even that, like the pricing structure is a bit of a black box.
Yeah, to me, that feels like fiat.
It is quite a fiat system. But I think it's mostly just like a hasty thing. Like everyone wants to use these APIs, everyone wants to use AI. And this is like the best price. This is like where their cost, this is like directly related to how much it costs them to assist you in your AI query. So that's why they use this pricing model. It's almost like pay for what you get type of thing.
So Optimism had this, he said C107 GPT-5 system card. Let's see if this pulls up. Looks a little bit too long. I don't want to go through all that, but if I go back here, let me go back here. But this is what he pulled in here. Anyways, I just wanted to get to the part where I talk about ChatGPT-5. Dude, I freaking love it. I think it's way better than 4. I can feel a big difference, especially when you use the research one. It's night and day for me, at least for what I use it for. Night and day. Like, and the other, so like I was doing some stuff for startup school, and I was questioning it, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. Tell me why you gave me this output, because I want to understand why you gave me that. And I never have done this before. It was just like, cause I was just really genuine curious why. And I was basically treating it how I would treat a person that I'm talking, you know what I mean? And it was like, no, this is why, this was my deductive reasoning behind it. And da 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 da. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I was just like, yeah, you're right. This is, and now that I've seen the two things, I'm like, no, this is the exact why we should go that way. And I was just like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. But it's so good, dude. It's so good. It really gets you to where you need to be. And that's where I kind of was going back to the last thing is, unless you can critically think through these things and you know the difference between slop and actually what you're the destination that you're trying to bring, you're trying to get to. If you don't know the destination you're trying to get to, or where you're trying to,
the outcome, the goal.
Yeah. If you don't know what you're trying to get to, or the thing that you're trying to reach, you won't know that. And I think that's why it's so crucial to understand what you're talking about. Cause if you don't understand what you're talking about, and you have no experience doing it, and you're just guessing, like, that's a scary place to operate in.
Where you're trusting AI to come up with the answers for you, not help you get answers that you could come up with, but just faster. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where, like, because I was questioning it. I was like, it's like, this doesn't make sense. Like, why would you? And then it was like, oh, wow, actually, that makes a ton of sense. It was just like being corrected. I was like, interesting. But anyways, I think it's really good. Have you played with GPT-5 at all?
I think I was using it on Cursor for a bit. I think Cursor was like, hey, GPT-5 came out. We think it's the smartest model we've ever seen. So you should use it. And it's free. It's promotional, free, whatever. And so I added it and I used it. But I was getting kind of crappy results. So I mostly use Cursor with like tabbed autocomplete is how I'm able to use it right on the problem I'm currently working on. So I don't know. I'm not like a power user of AI at the moment. So I can't really be like, this model is better than this model. I mostly use it as autocomplete, better autocomplete than what exists before. Mm-hmm. Not that that's all it is, but it is, that is my usage of it. I have used them to think through things before or do research, and it does a pretty good job at that. But I don't spend an hour or two a day with AI like I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. There is this new app that I downloaded. It's called Truthly. It's a Christian app, Christian AI app. But it only lets you search through like scripture, but it's actually curated by people who understand it. So it's going through all of the, like, it's going through everything that it, like, all the, I guess, all the data or whatever. And so I've been playing with that. It's really fascinating to use, because I've been asking it questions and
like about scripture.
About scripture, yeah. Like, and it, I don't know what model it's using, but it's really interesting that even when it's like an app that just has data around a specific topic or like a thing, like it, it's really good, which is crazy to think of. It just really shows you that, like, if you build something with just your data and your and stuff that you're just interested in. It could really be because it's charging like $7.99 a month. I don't think I'm going to keep it, but yeah. But it's like it's really fascinating.
Yeah, it is cool. It's going to crop up everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of these different. Because imagine a sports one, like somebody doing a whole sports version of it. Because
I have a friend who's a doctor who says he knows of a company. He's a specific type of doctor. He says he knows of a company that they're worth billions of dollars now, and all they do is they tried to make an assistant for that type of specialty of doctor. They like train their own model.
Yeah,
to help that type of doctor, they're worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, like where's Bloomberg's version of their thing, right? Like that's what I'm saying. I don't think ChatGPT is going to be the one that grabs everybody. I think that's going to be I don't want to call it Walmart, but it's going to be like the Target, you know.
Interesting.
I think that's going to be like the Walmart, Target, or like the Amazon that everybody goes to, but it's not going to be the special. It's going to be the one that everybody uses, but it's not going to be the specialized one. I think it's kind of what I'm starting to realize now. I think you're going to have specialized ones for private. I'm surprised there's not a Bitcoin one yet. I'm surprised no one has made a Bitcoin version of a just for Bitcoin developers or Bitcoin.
They have. I don't think it's a, I think they use another LL. I think they might use Llama or something, but I think it's like Bitcoin. It might be bitcoinsearch.xyz. They have a chat tab where you can basically chat with the corpus of Bitcoin knowledge. And I think it's out of Brink.
I think that's one use case, obviously, like the data stuff. But I mean, like from like a Bitcoin developer one.
I don't know exactly what you mean.
No, imagine the code stuff.
Oh, you can do that pretty well with a normal frontier model. It's not that. It's, you know, Bitcoin uses computer science.
Oh, okay.
So if an LLM understands computer science and understands enough about Bitcoin and which computer science applies to Bitcoin, it can assist you with Bitcoin stuff pretty well.
Interesting.
Yeah,
so it doesn't need to be too in tune. It doesn't mean it.
No,
but a generic one can be it.
At least for Bitcoin programming. But if I want to ask I don't want to ask OpenAI questions about Bitcoin. I would prefer to go to bitcoinsearch.xyz and or something purpose built like that that is going to scope my answers. It already has a lot of context. It already has a prompt that was put into the system that will guide me in the way that I don't have to do that work myself, but
interesting.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. The other one I wanted to bring up was, where is it here? Airbnb tries to stick traveler with 7,000 repair bill. So this one's for you. I know how much you like Airbnb, but yeah, that's your favorite founder right there. What do you think about this, Keon? Apparently, The Guardian reported that an AI-enhanced images became commonplace for selfies and social media. One woman found that her Airbnb host likely used the tech to try and scam her out of $1,000 in a false damage claim. This is insane. I don't know how. Here, let me see if I go to The Guardian. It looks like they have it here. Oh. So this is the picture here. So this shows right here how cheap and easily available artificial intelligence is. So this is the picture here. Mm-hmm. And then this is the, hang on. $5,000 just for that coffee table? There were differences between the two photographs. I don't see much of a difference on them though, to be honest.
Yeah, they do look pretty similar. So, I don't know. The concept is scary enough. You can kind of imagine someone doing that.
Let's really look at this, though.
The differences appear subtle. It could just be an angle thing. But they do look like the same picture to me. or not the same picture, but a picture taken of the same table. But a wood cracking that way would be very odd. I think the bigger point. It's like you can imagine it cracking.
It wouldn't crack that way though.
No, I don't think it'd crack along several different independent planks like that.
And it would crack here at the top, like over here.
Yeah, some vulnerable point like that. So I can imagine the picture being doctored, but not on the basis of the comparison of those two pictures.
Do you think this is good news for Airbnb or bad news for Airbnb?
There's a lot of problems with, you know, having amateurs run hotels in neighborhoods, and you know, kind of randos running hotels. There are good people that do it, obviously, and they do a good job of it, but. Like anything, there will be scammers where they are able to make money.
Yeah,
scamming people.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the problem is I think the biggest problem with something like Airbnb is like there are no scams. We take care of all scams. We handle it. We have insurance. If anything weird happens, we got you. We got you. We're a good actor. And then,
people love Airbnb though. People love Airbnb though.
Some people do, yeah.
Brian Chenick. Is it Chenick? Brian Chenick. I think it's his name, Brian Chenick.
He's a designer by trade.
Chenick. He's YC. I think that's it. I think that's all I got. Let me see here. Yeah, oh no, we got Meta. The last one is Meta. We got more releases. Keon, what do we got here?
Yeah, this is more enhancement to live comments, basically. Now you get a little navigator for live comments where if you're on a thread and a new comment shows up, we show you a little indicator and you can click on it and it'll scroll you to the new comments. And then also your little favicon, the little icon in your browser tab will change when there are new comments.
Oh, this little red button here?
Yeah, it'll be a blue outline around the SN logo and the favicon. That's it.
Can you show me the
comment thing? Sure. Which thread are you on?
I'm on the SN release.
Okay.
So how does that work? So I'll see it. Where will it show up here?
I'll need to load after my computer's been asleep. Things get really slow.
So I see the favicon change. I see that.
Oh, I'm having trouble.
Bug fixes.
Okay, here we go. And then we have the pod. Where's your post at? Here we go.
Carousel.
Oh, no one's commented on it yet. That's why.
Your comment commits here.
The test for SNL.
This one right here? Will it show up here?
It should show up. You should have your little logo change. And you should see. Oh no, you're not. I'm not. I didn't comment on the release post. I comment on the.
Oh yeah, I'm on the release post.
Oh, let me go to the release post then.
See what happens. We'll see what happens here. See if we can get some stuff happening here. See what happens. Yeah, I don't see anything changing.
Are you connected to the internet?
Oh, I see that blue dot. Whoa, what's that, bro?
Yeah.
Whoa. That's interesting. Whoa. That's cool. Do it again. That blue dot snuck up on me.
Yeah, it's meant to be sort of subtle and not super distracting.
Oh, that's a very subtle blue dot. Let's see if it pops up again. That's cool. Is that the same blue as the blue that's on the users?
The links and yeah.
Okay, just double check it. What made you go with the circle?
That was Sox's choice.
Interesting.
We have squares elsewhere, so that might make more sense. But
yeah, the square, you have the square for the bell. Are you rethinking of using a circle instead now?
I wouldn't use a circle now.
Okay. All right.
If you get multiple of them, and you can just keep clicking that, and you would go to all of them. It's just an improvement to live comments that makes it a little.
Oh wait, better. And then this one also has it here too. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh, interesting. Cool.
Yeah, just awesome. Assistance for live comments.
Cool. I think that's all we got here. The other one was, I forgot to take this off. No zine this week, right? No zine?
I don't know. I haven't heard from Pleb Poet, so hopefully she hasn't. She's still willing to be associated with us or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's cooking something big up. I don't know.
We also got the Fountain Boost. Fountain Boost for Fountain. Oh, I forgot to mention, Oscar had a release. Let's see if we can go to that. Oh, no, I saw it here right before the show. Where is it at? Where is it at? Where is it at? Fountain. Boom. Boom, boom. Fountain. Did you see this?
I did see it.
He dropped a new release. I think it's on the website too. Yeah. Got it on the website. New release. He said, let's be honest, our old search wasn't great. Hey, it's okay, Oscar. We're here for it. And then he did this. Look, he rebuilt the Nostr infrastructure stuff, which I think, you know, was needed an upgrade. But it's stable now. So that should be awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, so check it out. We're going to go there now. But yeah, you hit refresh, hopefully. Look at that. It's loading up faster now. Blockchain Boost said, zap, DMs on Stacker News. Mind blown. It's waiting for the DMs.
Triems.
Triems. I don't know what that means, but
yeah,
there you go.
Hidden alpha there.
Hidden alpha. Cool.
As you would say.
That's all we got on Stacker News. Let's go to the temp. Cowboys. Where's the temp? The temp. Where's that? The temp. Where's the top Cowboys at? Top Cowboys. Siggy. Numero uno. Coop. Numero dos.
I think we really haven't had much of a change.
Undisciplined. Numero tres.
As far as I can tell, at least.
Blockchain Boog. Numero cuatro.
Those are the things that might have been some change cinco. At the bottom.
Coins reporter. Numero seis. Public Enemy, numero siete. Stacker and Heidi, numero ocho. Rothbardian Fanatic, numero nueve. We're all Satoshi, numero yes.
Cars Mexican.
I don't know after you don't, yeah. I don't know after 10.
Really?
I think I do. I could probably keep going, but I'm
isn't like, it like Anse?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I get like super, I'll be like, just because I usually order just like the most tacos is like yes, you know what I mean? Ocho. Cinco tacos, por favor.
Cinco tacos, bro. That's cinco, cheap tacos.
Cinco tacos, por favor. That's all you need to know here in Mexico.
But you don't choose the type of taco? They only have one type of taco?
You know, you can get like one or two tacos. So uno, dos, tres, cuatro tacos, por favor. Anyway, I get number 11, Aardvark, EK, 12.
Wait, because if you're Mexican, can you drink the water in Mexico?
I don't drink the water, no.
No, you don't drink it?
No, I don't. Okay. No way, dude.
Montezuma, you believe in Montezuma's revenge.
I don't even drink the water here in Austin. Yeah, I don't drink the water anywhere.
Yeah. I wonder if they fix that.
I don't know. I think there's people that drink water, like, from the tap.
Oh, yeah. I think you can get habituated.
Don't we have the filter thing?
It's like it's been like 2 years since the beyond the filter date. So
how do you know that?
Because it says on the filter when it should be replaced.
Okay, I'll get them to change it. Because I think that's the building.
It might be. It's not really much of a. It's just a sediment filter.
Right? I thought it was swapped out because I used it the other day for coffee.
It's probably better than nothing, but it's just a sediment filter. It's like filtering out like very large things from getting into the water. Mm. Maybe improves the flavor a little bit. It's like a Brita filter.
Mm. Oh, really? What's wrong with a Brita filter? Is that bad?
It's just not. It's a pretty primitive filter. Uh-huh. It's not doing a great job. What you want is if you're going to filter, if you really are concerned about water quality, probably want a reverse osmosis filter. That's what they had at the other lab. That's what they're using to make this.
That's the one that we had at the other lab.
Those big machines you see outside of, that's also what we had at the other lab.
Yeah.
You can get countertop ones, but they're kind of annoying. But if you're a renter, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you're a homeowner,
what about the ones that get delivered? Are those?
That's what they're if they're if you're not getting spring water, which it's cheaper to not get spring water most in most cases, you're probably getting purified water, which is basically reverse osmosis water with other steps.
Interesting. The more you know, Stackers.
More you know.
Bell Curve 26, Nunya 36, Sox 38, Plepoet 41, Bend the Carbon 47. Yeah. A lot of beef. I'm 65. Yeah, I haven't been too much on Stacker News this week. Just
do you see Fabs' backpack?
Fabs back?
Well, no, he showed his backpack.
Does he really? He released his clothing line?
That's a backpack that he made.
Did he really?
Yeah. You want to go to
no way. Let's see what he has. Oh, he did. Dude, why did you cover this? Shut up, he did. Yeah. Oh, whoa. I just finished my work on my fifth prototype today. And although I'm not 100% happy, it's definitely a step in the right direction. I learned a whole lot, especially in regards to anger management. What? This has been the first prototype which I've fabricated out of real materials, and I managed to hit almost all my set measurements to the T. Just a few small changes I'm going to forward with my prototype 6. He's made 6 prototypes? I'll add Velcro patches. Anyway, I'll be happy to hear some input. So what do you think about this? Made all this?
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
I like how he did the background with the flowers. It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It tells me that he really cares about showing a good product.
Oh, well, I don't think he's selling it yet. But yes, he made the whole thing. I think it looks like a very high quality pack.
I like the rope at the top.
Yeah, the paracord. It's a nice touch.
He made that?
He made it.
With Chinese kids or no?
No Chinese kids involved unless Fabs himself is Chinese and a child.
How did he make that?
With a sewing machine.
No way. No way, dude.
Yeah, you can make stuff like that.
He made this.
Hmm?
You buying this? You buying that he made this?
Yes, I believe he made it.
You believe he made it?
Yes, I believe human beings are capable of making great things. And by themselves.
Did he show like a video of him making it? Trial and error, what I don't like. Making backpacks. Interesting. Well, that's really cool.
Car doesn't believe you, Fabs.
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. That's not what I said.
A cheater.
No, that's not what I said at all. It's not what I said. I just remember when he was making the design like a year ago when he was like trying to find his design.
Yeah, he was making fanny packs. He was making smaller things.
Well, no, remember when he was trying to find like his logo design? Yeah. And he used like a AI generator thing.
Yeah.
I imagine him like being like 15 or something. Like,
I'm not sure he's that young.
Yeah, I know now, but like I imagine him he was 15 trying to remember, and then like a year ago he was like trying to hit on some girl or something. He didn't know how to hit on a girl. Remember that?
I recall most of.
Yeah. So like in my head, I had this picture of him like.
Incapable of doing.
No, just like on his way, you know, still young, trying to. But when I saw this, I'm like, whoa, he actually.
Could be a Mozart of some. He could be 5 years old. Could be.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Maybe I've been underestimating Fabs this whole time. This is on me. I'm surprised he doesn't have a patch on there, like a Fabs patch.
It's almost a cooler vibe to not have it, but
to not have a patch.
Yeah, I prefer. I think it's a nice move when someone who's manufacturing apparel or things that people are going to have.
Oh, for apparel.
It's like my, you know, like
he a has couch. Something right when there.
Look, couch, it doesn't have a logo on it.
It's just there, right there. It looks like there's a logo there.
I think it might just be from the
sideways a little bit.
What do you call it? Whatever you call that material, might already have it on there.
Well, now that you mention it, I can kind of see a little bit of a home kind of quality to it now. After
I would say it's high quality. Is what?
No, I'm saying now I can kind of see the. Now after studying it for a little bit. Yeah, it's really good though.
I would say the attention to detail is suggestive of a non-mass-produced item.
Well, right there, I can see this right there. Yeah. How much is he selling it for?
He's not selling it. It's a prototype.
Oh, so he is going to get Chinese kids to make it at some point.
No. Oh, okay. He's going to make them himself still.
Okay. Are you going to buy one?
If it has the features that I want.
Hmm. Interesting.
And cool. It's not $1,000 for a backpack.
Dude, charge $1,000 for a backpack.
Yeah. I mean,
Fab's original?
Did you see Yeezy like made all of his like apparel super cheap on his store?
No, what happened?
For like the week. He took things down to like their material cost.
Or oh, he's like the Starberry method. That's smart.
But like you could buy his slides, which were previously I think over $100. You could buy his slides for like $20 on his website.
Let's go on the Starberry method.
I think you still can, but or he's maybe just clearing out stock because he has some new stuff he's going to release.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Somebody was going to do it again. We got Proof of Work, Fitness 69, Just Shocknet 74, Opago Pay 75, Mary Oscar 87, Peter Todd 91. Who else we got? Carasan 97. That's an I.
Cleophas is back.
You got Totally Human Writer. Could be AI. We never know. 101.
They're not.
And Salma Sean. Rounding out 105. Oh, wait. Hang on a second. Daedalus 108. And Div OBTC 110. It's a lot of stackers. A lot of stackers, Keon.
Those are cowboys.
Cowboys. A lot of cowboys. Yeah. What are you doing this weekend?
I don't think I have really anything planned. I don't have anything planned at all. I might finish Star Trek Discovery. Pretty far along on it. I've been watching that. I've been enjoying
it. Oh, with the, is that the new one? Did they make another one? Or is it
this is the one in the, like, I think 2019 was the first season. I'm just watching.
It's a girl from The Walking Dead, right? She was on The Walking Dead.
She was on The Walking Dead. Oh, the woman who's the starring in it? Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I remember her from.
Remember when they announced her for being in Star Trek. And then I was like, how is she going to be in Star Trek? She's on The Walking Dead. And then like the next week they killed her. I was like, damn.
Oh, shoot.
She got gutted.
It's pretty, I think they did a pretty good job. I'm really enjoying it. They do a lot of Klingon stuff. On lore and stuff, which I was surprised I liked a lot. So that's be what I'm doing that's fun, maybe.
Never got into Star Wars or Star Trek. I was always a Star Wars guy.
Me, same. I never really got into Star Trek, but I did like the movies a lot that I had seen. Like any high production Star Trek stuff, I always liked it.
The new ones, the J.J. Abrams ones, or the old ones?
I watched some of the old ones. And I also like the new ones. The concept is great. It's like you're kind of boxed in to, you're on a, it's kind of a single location on a ship, but then they go and they explore other places and new people. Like the concept that drives kind of the stories is great. And that's why it's persisted. But I never really, sometimes they do a poor job with either the writing or the production quality. And I found that off-putting, but the Discovery is great.
I think I like about Star Trek is I like hearing people talk about it, and I like the lore around it, and I like people debating it and geeking over it, kind of like Lord of the Rings, but I don't really like watching it.
Does that make any sense? Some of them can be pretty soap opera-y. I think it's made fun of for that quality, but Discovery I found more hard sci-fi, and that's why I like it more.
I don't know if you ever saw Galaxy Quest. Did you ever see Galaxy Quest?
I did see Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, I love that. Parody. Yeah. And I think that was supposed to be like a Star Trek like
parody
knockoff or something.
I think they call it a parody.
Parody, yeah. Really enjoyed that show or that movie. That's funny. Cool.
What about you? What are you doing?
Gonna take it easy this weekend, Kia, and relax. That's what I'm gonna do. Oh, get this ear recovered. yeah, Staggers, have yourself a great weekend. Go out there and check out Note Taker, or not Note Deck. Check out Note Deck. It's a cool app.
Awesome.
Give them some feedback, and
that's it.
Touch some grass.
Zap.